Here we go. John Curley, Shore Liquor Show, you along for the ride. Thank you, everybody. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Come on in to State Roofing Text Line, 1-888-973-5476. As Aaron just talked about Sound Transit, let's remember Sound Transit, even by the people that are helping to promote Sound Transit, will carry less than 1% of the daily trips of commuters. Keep that in mind. They spend billions and billions of dollars. And still waiting for it to fly over the I-90 bridge. When they finally get that train, the two trains go over. Jacob, what will I be doing?
You'll be in your flying vehicle.
Flying car.
Dropping bags?
Bags.
Bags of urine.
Thank you. Diving into the news! Thank you. All right, Sherry, at one point in the show, we're going to make time for you to be able to give your... We'll let the listeners decide as to whether or not you should go to your... What is it? Your next-door neighbor's goddaughter's...
No, goddaughter Chloe. Goddaughter Chloe.
Don't try to personalize it and make it seem all special by calling her Chloe. 1-888-973-5476.
Yeah, you're just trying to humanize your goddaughter.
I have a big, big party once a year. I got live bands. I got music. I got hot dogs. I have a hamburger. I got all sorts of stuff. Taco truck, everything. Big, 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 big party. Big party. Invite you. Save a spot for you. Have a nice room set up for you. Ready to go. And, no.
Well, God. Now you and I had this. Remember, we talked about this.
The audience will decide.
Okay.
1-888-973-5476.
All right.
So okay. Sherry go to her... Whatever somebody's kid's thing. That's a choice. A, somebody's kid's thing, or come to my great big fun party.
I will let the listeners decide.
Fine. And then you got to go with whatever they decide.
That's fine. I agree with that. I'll have to break somebody's heart. Somebody.
Got it.
That's okay.
Elon Musk finally got the FDA to approve his brain implant. And after watching his spaceship explode on the way down, it didn't go so well, apparently. And then how well the Twitter thing launched with Ron DeSantis. Now they want to open up and put some sort of brain thing in your head.
Within 5 to 10 minutes.
No, this is a different guy.
Well, who's this guy?
Different.
Paralyzed guy.
Well, that's the paralyzed guy. Where's the... do you have any...
No.
Oh, thank you, Jacob. Well, the FDA said, yes, you can put it in there. And what it's going to be able to do for you, Elon Musk says it could help with autism and a variety of other neurological disorders by having this brain implant right there in your brain. Little chip of it go right in there. So the question is, Sherry, would you rather have that or go to somebody's graduation party? Listeners will decide.
Okay, this is a scary thing to me. First of all, they tested this, on animals.
Sure.
And right now he's being investigated for violations of the Animal Welfare Act because there may have been some, I don't want to go so far as to say cruelty, but there have been some questions about the research that was done with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of amazing that the FDA has approved this on humans. I'm not sure who's going to do it. But, yes, he's saying that it has potential to help out with obesity, autism, depression, schizophrenia. It also allows for, as a bonus, web browsing and telepathy.
Yes. It also helps with making salads and and charcuterie boards.
Oh, okay. Well, now sign me up. That sounds like a good deal. But yeah, so he's been trying hard. He's been working on this as one of his many projects. Who's going to sign up for this? I don't know. I don't even know what it does, how it can allow all of these things to happen at the same time with this one little chip. I'm assuming that what it does is it connects to something else, which allows you then to have the capability to improve your life in all these different ways.
I think modern science takes gigantic leaps like this, and you always have to find somebody willing to be, quote unquote, the guinea pig. There was the story of the dentist. I think he was from Pittsburgh. I think his name is Barney. I have so many useless facts in my head. And he was the first guy to have what would be a heart transplant, which was basically this gigantic machine. But they learned a lot about how the body processes and how the heart works when Jacob's going to Google that for me. Am I right so far? Pittsburgh dentist Barney heart transplant. And because, I mean, his heart was in really bad shape and he wasn't going to live much longer anyway. But, you know, he might have had longer time if he hadn't done this. It didn't extend his life. But the science that was able to be gathered from his sacrifice, we all benefited from. So in this case, if this thing legitimately improves people's lives, maybe as they kind of work out the bugs on the thing, you might be the first one, and it might not always be the most beneficial thing for you. But again, you are, you know, the first in to help others. We had that first story at the top of the show at 3 o'clock, and the guy is doing all of these things, trying to extend his own life by getting plasma from his son and taking all of these things and keeping track of all of his nighttime ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we benefit from any of that information.
Well, I mean, I think this, obviously, if this is something that's going to be useful down the road, I think it's great. But I also think that somebody would have to have almost like a Hail Mary pass on their life, like this guy, Barney, mm-hmm. who was, you know, what options do you have left? If it's death or give this a try, I guess you'd give it a try. Mm-hmm. But it's a little broad to me that it can cure obesity or help with obesity, autism, and web browsing. That to me is just a little too, you know, shampoo and conditioner in one. Like, I can't believe it's going to be that effective in all of these things.
Well, first of all, let's give credit. You get the audience that might be obese, take care of them. You get the people that have autism. But then the rest of us, like, well, what's it going to do for me? Well, web browsing. So then you that's where you get everybody else on board. Jacob, how close was I to the first heart?
The doctor who launched the program,
yes,
was named Bartley Griffith.
No, the guy who had it installed. He was a dentist named Barney. Anyway, listen, okay. As you continue to track my useless knowledge. More science, Sherry.
Yeah, something called the Jarvik 7 heart. And Barney was the patient. And I think it was in Utah, though, not in Pittsburgh.
I thought he was in Pittsburgh. Doesn't matter. The important thing is that he made those sacrifices and we all benefit. Here's another example. This is a brain implant that was placed into a guy that had been paralyzed. And then
within 5 to 10 minutes, I could control my hips. Like they were like the brain implant. Picked up what I was doing with my hips, so that was like, the best outcome, I think, for everyone.
Amazing, right? And the neurologist neuroscience explains
it. So when everything is installed, the patient has first to learn how to work with his brain signals, and we also have to learn how to correlate this brain signal to the spinal cord stimulation. But this is pretty short. In a few sessions, everything is linked, and the patient starts training.
To just an example, I'm training 10 years to stand up with a friend having a beer. And that's something I think people don't realize.
See? Miraculous. Good mm-hmm. stuff. All around.
By the way, it's Dr. Barney Clark.
Yes.
Okay. He was 61. He was a dentist. He had congestive heart failure.
Uh-huh.
And he got the artificial heart machine. But he was from Seattle.
As much as I celebrate that he's from Seattle, it pains me. I thought Pittsburgh was somehow included in there. the mortgage rate for you, Seattle mortgage rate payments, are nearly double what rent was. So when people decided, well, you know what, it'd be probably better off buying a house than renting if it works out on paper, let's buy the house because rent continues to increase. But now as mortgage rates have skyrocketed, almost gone up 2 to 3 times, now people are saying it looks like rent will be a better move. This according to the Seattle Times. We've got a guy that's going to be coming on later next week, and he was explaining to me, he owns 100 and some units, Sherry, and he said expect increases of 5 to 7% of rent. And I asked him why, and he told me because, well, you don't understand, my insurance for all of these units has increased by almost 2 or 3 times, has gone from like $34,000 to like $118,000. And I asked him, why is insurance going up? Because he's gonna have to pass those insurance rates increases onto his renters. He said insurance companies are trying to cover their losses from tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, and all the natural and unnatural or man-made disasters that have been occurring throughout the year. So they've increased everybody's insurance rate. So that's just an additional cost on top that he will then have to pass on. He said a 5 to 7% increase coming for people's rents.
Well, this article claims that it costs about 88% more to have a mortgage than to pay rent. The interest rates is now at about 6.5, I guess. So they're saying that if you have a $6,000 mortgage payment for the same house, if you were to rent that house, it would only be $3,208. And that's based on a $761,000 home with 5% down, with a 6.5% mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were able to put down 20%, which is what I thought almost everybody had to do, that would bring your mortgage payment down a bit, but still a two-bedroom apartment, they say, is only about $1,700. So it, at the moment, it does make more sense to rent, although you have no investment in renting. You don't own anything, and you don't have a you know, pay off later.
I get it. But the flexibility of renting compared to owning, you can't even compare the two. But just that you hand that landlord that check every single month and just, it's such a horrible feeling to know you put the money into that house of yours, you got the mortgage, and it just feels like you got something. But if you want to be footloose and fancy free and be able to go visit a friend for a big party that they're having at the end of June, then you could do that. But if you want to be sort of saddled and locked in and perhaps selfish and go to your somebody's, I don't know, what was it again? Their graduation party or something? You're sort of stuck there. I
mean, that's Chloe.
Stop saying her name to make me try to feel sorry for her.
Okay. You don't feel sorry for her. Feel sorry for me because I have a difficult decision to make now.
It's not up to you now. It's up to the listeners. 1-888-973-5476. We were going to put the sound of this in here, but it's not worth it because all you hear is... But is the pulse pounding video of Asiana Airlines when somebody decides to open the door, the exit door. And when they do open the door, the guy doesn't fly out. It's not like that. The person opens the door, I assume, is still in the plane and everybody else is in the plane. You can see all the wind rushing in. They're all sitting in their seats as the door is now open on this airline. And they're just going to bring it in for a landing, obviously. But that. They arrested the person who opened the door. Did they explain why they opened the door?
No, they don't know that yet. And here's the weird part.
What good reason could the person have had?
They were at 700 feet. They were coming in for a landing. They opened the door. There was absolute chaos. 194 passengers were on board.
Yeah.
And they said people just started fainting and they were passing out, I guess, from absolute fear and just panic about this. But an expert said, technically, it's almost impossible. And in fact, he says it's not possible to open those doors during a flight. So how he was able to get that open, they're looking into that to see if there was a technical problem or something wrong with the aircraft that allowed him to open the door. He was arrested, but they haven't figured out, other than him being crazy, why he decided that was the way, you know, that's was something he wanted to do.
Could have been one of them to be the first one off. There's always that move. Or he could have, because you sometimes you sit next to the thing and you can see the little handle and it shows you what you're supposed to do. And you remember like just sort of touching it and then flipping it a little bit more and then flipping it. And then you're like, well, look at that. It kind of goes up. And the next thing, the door opens up. And everybody was just sort of sitting there, wind blowing all over the place. And they've got their hands in their laps and just watching as the plane is it looked like a tornado going through the plane. I assume that happened only back in coach.
Well, I don't think it happened in first class.
No.
But
so everybody else in first class is perfectly fine.
Yes, you can understand why these doors can't be opened during flight. Because, yeah, if somebody was really nuts, they could just open the door. And so that's why they're saying, how did this even happen? Because it's sealed shut, I guess, unless the plane is at a full stop. And then they have to open it in an emergency to allow people to exit the plane. So... we'll see. I hope there's no copycats wondering if they can get a plane door open, knowing now they're not supposed to and this guy did it, or knowing that it's not supposed to be able to happen and this guy did it.
All right, general knowledge question for anybody here. Why do they tell you to put the window shade up at takeoff and landing if you're sitting back in the emergency exit? Anyone?
Is it just out of...
You need to buzz in by saying buzz.
Buzz.
Okay.
Is it an etiquette thing where just so everybody can look out the window if they want?
Okay. All right. Good answer.
I never thought about why.
Sherry, maybe you would think about that where you're not writing to your friend Chloe?
Let's see. If an airplane's interior is dark while its exterior is bright and sunny,
No, you can't do that.
She'd use me answering.
Allow for eyesight adjustment. No. That's why. Well,
wait,
I didn't know.
For the passengers?
Yes. When I ask these general knowledge questions and Andrew goes to the trouble playing the fun music, you can't just start to Google the answer. Then that's not fun anymore.
Well, I didn't know the answer.
Well, then you just say, Buzz, I don't know the answer, and you pass it back to Jacob. Come on.
Okay.
You know what? I don't want you at the party.
Okay. Oh, good. It's simplified for you, Sherry. Okay.
But the audience will decide.
All right. The audience will decide.
All right. Big Easton Memorial Day Parade happening on Saturday. I'll be there. And I was able to write to my friend Jill. And I said, hey, you could still get a place at the parade if you want. She's like, really? How? I said, just fill out this form. So now we'll find out what Jill and the family have come up with. It. And they had a whole family meeting on this to come up with a theme, what they're going to do in the parade. And I'm just afraid I have oversold it because it's not exactly the Macy's Day Parade, to put it lightly. It's Easton, and it's...
So anybody, she's just a regular family in Easton, and they could, anybody can be a part of it?
Yep.
You just have to come up with what it is you're representing, or does she have a float?
Well, we'll see. Decided to come up. They had a big family meeting on it, what type of candy to throw, what kind of costumes they wanted to wear, and then I just want to see if they're going to have... anything about me involving the float as it goes by, because I will be the MC.
So really, that's what we're looking for, is how this will involve you.
Kind of so, yes.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Sherry. I will, because of all you've just told me. I'll tune in. You don't, but a person can take my car to Bucky's Auto Service Centers. 16 locations, 53 years. It's Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Oh, look who's coming through the door. Hello, Whitley.
Hi.
First of all, those that don't know, Whitley is one of the voices of the people that occasionally you hear on the show say stuff like, Whitley, is it you that says, Mom, change the station?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. Mom, change the station.
That's right.
How about, are you the one that says, are you the one that says, I think I like Tom better?
Yeah, that was me too.
Okay. I think I like Tom better.
Okay, yeah. Whitley is precocious, but not in an annoying way. Her whole family, I hold very close to my heart. I love them all. Whitley the least. But the important thing is that she is a smart ass, but she's unbelievably cute, and she's also... She has a big heart, but she will tell you exactly what she thinks of you, you know, in the way a kid can do that, right? Because mm-hmm. she's made, I went to her father's surprise 60th birthday party, and she was so forthright with her opinion and her father's age. It shocked a lot of people when she got up to make that speech. But we'll leave all of that aside. Whitley, how excited yes. are you about the big Memorial Day parade in Easton, huh?
I'm really excited, and my dad got a lot of candy, so I look forward to eating that.
Wait,
and you're supposed to give it away.
Throw it out.
And sharing it, too.
Okay. All right. So the family had a whole meeting when I sent over the thing for your mom to fill out. The family had a meeting deciding whether they wanted to be in it or not. What were some of the arguments pro and con to be in the Easton Memorial Day Parade?
Well, we didn't really get a choice, and my mom kind of just sat us down and said, surprise, we're going to be in the parade.
Hmm. Just like that. So there wasn't a choice of like, I don't want to be in it. Did everybody want to be in it? Does Ford want to be in this?
I don't think Campbell does, but I think she's going to be.
Okay, yeah. So she's forced. So what is the theme? I know that was a second part of the discussion. After Mom forced you being in the parade, did she also give you a choice as to how you guys wanted to dress and what the theme was going to be?
She like pretended to let us talk about it, but then she's making us do Americana.
So what does that involve? Like, will you wear like red, white, and blue, or what's that going to look like?
Yeah, we picked out red, white, and blue outfits, and we have sunglasses with like the stars and stripes. And for to decorate our vehicle, we have like American flags.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay, so listen, can I give you some advice about throwing candy? Don't throw it right at people's faces. Just a little bit of advice. I saw that last year. There was a lot of like stuff just chucked right at the kids. And if they're not looking, you're going to catch somebody, you know, right in the eye.
Well, I thought you get more points if you hit them.
Okay.
Now, what vehicle are you driving in this, Whitley? Is it like you guys don't have time to make a float, obviously? So will you be in a convertible? Who's going to be walking? Who's going to be riding? What's the format here for the whole family? Where are you going to be?
Yeah, so we're using our Seattle Ride the Duck, which my dad bought in an auction a couple of years ago. And it's an amphibious vehicle, so it can go and land in on water.
Uh-huh. But,
yeah.
Wait, I thought that's what John was going to be in.
I can't be in. I'm the MC.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be part. So you're part of the duckmobile.
Yeah. She's in the duckmobile. How many people? It seats 30.
Yes.
Seats 30. How many people will be there from the family?
My whole family's going to be there, and then we invited some of our friends and neighbors. So I think it's going to be about half full.
Okay, half full. Okay. Have you ever been in a parade before?
No, I haven't. This is my first time, but okay. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, you say that now. No, it's great. It's just a lot. It's slower than you think. And then at one point, normally it gets held up right in front of the MC. That's me. And then I have to basically fill time while the parade kind of regains momentum and moves on. Last year, Sherry, there was somebody running for office and the guy was standing there and he had a big poster of himself. And all I could think of was, like, he looked a lot thinner in the picture than he did in real life. And I just happened to mention that to him. And then
he threw candy at your face?
Yes.
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
Yes. Whitley, there's really no rules because it's Memorial Day weekend and no one's listening. Well, listen, here's what we want. We again, practice throwing the candy. What kind of candy are you throwing?
My dad picked out a lot of candy, but we have full-size bars.
You have what?
Full-size bars.
Full-size bars?
And Pop Rocks.
Wait a minute. What do you mean full-size, like heavy candy, like a Snickers bar with some great density to it? Like what kind of full-size?
Yes, we don't want to be like everyone else.
Yeah, I see that. So you're showing up in a Ride the Ducks, which your dad bought at an auction, and then you're throwing full-size candy at people.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, it's easier to catch if it's a full-size bar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they will be the most popular float out there. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen.
That's the goal.
What's that?
That's the goal, to be the most popular.
Okay.
Wow. It's not to give out candy or to celebrate Memorial Day. It sounds like you've been talking to Uncle John Curley a little bit.
Yeah.
So competitive.
Now, are you going to be, when you go by the MC stand or whatever, are you going to heckle?
Oh, there'll be lots
Mr.
of candy thrown.
Yeah. But we're going to bring rocks for that part.
Okay, Whitley. All right, funny girl.
Can we get Whitley's perspective on the question of the day on the show, which is, should Sherry attend? She has conflicting plans. Should she go to John's party or to her goddaughter's graduation party?
I think she should come to John's party, Mr. Crew.
Thank you.
Are you going to be there, Whitley?
Yes, she's coming.
Okay.
She'll be there. Yeah. The whole family's coming as well. And take Whitley out with I Love a Parade. Whitley.
But one thing's certain, whether I am or not, I love a parade. The tramping of feet, I love every beat I hear of a drum. I love a parade. When I hear a band,
have you ever heard this song before, Whitley?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
It's really something, though.
Yeah.
All right. Get out of here. All right. Bye, Whitley. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See you tomorrow. Easton Memorial Day Parade. I love a parade.
Mom, change the station.
I'm marching in place. Got candy in the face. I love a parade. Poorly timed mouthful of peanuts there.
Almonds, it looks like.
Yes, thank you. Oh, sorry.
I mean, those are, there's like three or four, too, that you just spit out of your mouth, and those are, blue diamonds are pretty expensive.
They're not cheap. They're not, but they give stuff away. They've got free food down there at the Cairo Radio thing.
Incorrect, but.
All righty. The,
You're doing that again? Isolating the nuts.
Okay. Jeez.
Well, no, you've been told not to steal the food.
Am I stealing the food?
As if him being told was necessary in the first place. You've been told, to steal the food.
I'm not stealing the food, Sherry. Don't make me take you outside. Okay. Sherry, can I talk to you outside for a moment?
Okay. Hey.
Wait, I gotta close the door.
Oh, okay. Hey, what's up?
I didn't steal the food. I'm going to go down and pay. I don't have time. I'm in a hurry. I'm trying to produce a show. You're producing a show. We're involved in the swiping and the thing and that you have to put the button in. I'm going to pay for it when after the show's over.
This is, you've been through this before. They called you out on it. They asked you not to do it anymore. You're not in the studio that often. Can you just not steal the food?
It's very cumbersome. You have to swipe the thing. You got to put the strip in correctly and then flip it around. And it's like, you know, sorry, try it again. I don't have time for that. I wave to the camera, give them, I'm coming back, and I will be back after the show.
Okay. All right. If you say so.
Let's act like nothing. Nothing's wrong.
All right.
Hey, how about this? Close the door. So in 5 years, they're going to be able to produce a baby in a Petri dish. So you're going to take the cells, the mom and the dad, put them in the Petri dish and be able to have a womb of some sort that is, you know, genetically modified. It's not even a real womb. And then the baby can grow within 5 years. Let's say the baby will be able to, you know, there you can have a kid and you don't have to carry the kid around and everybody be happy. Then the child is born. Maybe the godparents show up at a baptism or something. There's more distance. There's less, you know, cumbersome sort of social engagements, one that you have to attend when you feel you have to attend. Things will just be different 5 years from now.
Yeah. So they started this, or they actually, one of the things that they did, it's called synthetic surrogacy. Mm-hmm. And they created baby mice from two daddy rodents because they wanted to show that same-sex couples could also participate in this. So 1% of the embryos, 7 out of 630, grew into live mouse pups.
Okay.
So it's still in the very, you know, in the infancy stages, so to speak. But they're saying that this could be a template for enabling people to have biological children, and
without the use of surrogate. But the strange thing will be there will be some sort of steps along the way where things could go wrong. So you're growing this human being outside of the human body and it fails, or there's something that goes wrong with the development of the child. The slippery slope argument is always, well, then you can start to grow human beings for nothing else other than the use of organs. So you're going to grow a child and then produce for healthy cells, and then you basically harvest what you need off of that developed human being.
Well, if the human being was just a body with organs and I don't know. That's an ethical problem.
Well, there is this sort of argument that you're not truly – I forget the guy's name that is always arguing on abortion, and he always says that you're not really human. You're not a person. You're human, but you're not a person until you're conscious. And he says the consciousness is that you need to be aware of yourself, moving through time and space, have memory of your past, know where you are presently, and then project yourself in the future. That's described as true consciousness, not in the idea of Buddha, but in the idea of that's what a fully functioning human is, a real person. And he was this guy that makes this argument, says it's arbitrary as to when we decide we're going to abort. He said, you know, we're okay with 22 weeks because aesthetically we can't quite figure that out, whatever the size of everything else. They don't think it gets older. He says, really, if it's about being a person or a human, it's not until you reach consciousness that you are a person. And at that point, then you can consent, and then you're able to sort of understand your existence. And he goes on to make the argument that there's really no difference between someone at 22 weeks and somebody before the age of four. It's like, whoa. It's a very fascinating, and I hate to say it in just sort of cold, stark terms, logically how he lays it out. He says, I remove God from the equation because what we talk about is, well, it's immoral. I'm not talking about morality. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm just simply looking at the science of when, you know, what is the point of consent and at what point do you have rights as a person? Not just as a human being, but as a person. And he describes being a person as having consciousness. I mean, I listened to that when I was on a plane flying somewhere the other day. I was like, wow, this is, it's amazing how he deconstructs the whole argument of life and when is it precious and when is it not precious. He removes all of that idea, all of any kind of sort of thing that we place on top. He's just looking only at the biology of it.
So in his estimation, what age do you achieve this
four.
Consciousness? At age four, you know past, present,
you have
you're aware
you have,
of your body.
You, yeah, you know what happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago or whatever. You know where you are, and then you know, like, hey, tomorrow I have this to look forward to or something. He said, I think it's around three or four, somewhere in there.
And prior to that, all bets are off? You don't
prior
have
to that, he doesn't. You're not really, you're not a person. You're a human being, but you're not a person. And therefore, you're not bestowed upon. You don't have the rights of being a person.
Oof.
I know.
That's harsh.
I know. Wouldn't want to be trapped anywhere with him where they're trying to figure out who to save or not.
Or his child.
Yeah, exactly.
His young child.
He's, I don't know, he has any.